2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. Now hear the word of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. Consider the matter this evening. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, now notice, Elisha's going to give her the strategy to experience her miracle. But you got to get the strategy before the miracle's going to come. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in. Now notice here, he is creating an opportunity for her to come into obedience. Because miracles only flow along the lines of your obedience. You want to get delivered from the creditor that's pounding on your door, then you better hear the word of God. And you better listen up, because God's going to give you an opportunity to obey. Yes, now go borrow your vessels, not a few. But he also gives her another little extra command that doesn't seem to fit none of the text. He just simply says, shut the door! Shut the door, because I'm telling you, you got to shut the door on some things in your life before God's going to start operating in the supernatural. And you can't just come into private personal consecration. The Bible says that you need to shut the door upon thy sons. That means you got to include your kids right along with it. And shalt pour out into all of these vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. She sold it. She paid the creditor. And I thank God for the pot of oil that's in this place here tonight. And I've come to tell you, there's only one kind of currency that pays the creditor. And that's the anointing, the oil that God has given to us. It's the only currency that's going to meet the demands of the creditor. My text for your consideration this evening is simply this. Only the anointing can pay the creditor. Only the anointing can pay the creditor. There's an anointing on you here tonight, and I think that you ought to use that in this earth. What do you want me to do with my anointing? Pour it out, pour it out, pour it out, pour it out. Let it touch everybody in this place. I said, pour it on one another, pour it on every individual in this house. Say, well, I want to keep some for myself. You don't need to keep this for yourself, because the anointing don't work on yourself. It works on others when they come in contact with it. That's why you need to stay connected to somebody else who is anointed, because their anointing only works on you, but it will not work on yourself. Because it wasn't designed for yourself. It was designed to be poured out to touch somebody else. And only the anointing can pay the creditor. I want you to lift your hands in this house and magnify the King for just a few moments here. and believe that God is able with His Spirit to move mightily in this service. God, You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Minister Your Word in this place tonight. Give us understanding in the Spirit to do Your work and to gain the strategy and know what we must do to meet the demands of the creditor in this place. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. The creditor is come, and I believe that all of us can understand that we've got to meet his demands. And I find that the United Pentecostal Church, the Indiana District, is on common ground with this little woman in the scripture text tonight. Because the notices are over and the grace period is extinguished. And the deadline is now. For the Bible said the creditor is come. There's no window to slide out of. There is no back door to avoid the pounding at the door of the church tonight. For the creditor is come. It is now life or death. Produce what the creditor is demanding, or you will suffer the undesired ramification. There is no hiding, there is no running, and there is no escaping. The creditor is come. Revival is no longer an attractive alternate selection or some consolation that we keep to our spirit. It is now the demand of the day. The church really has no choice. It is revival for survival. If we're going to stay alive, we got to have revival. Not next week, not next month, not next camp meeting, but now. God has given us a magnificent window of opportunity for the church to have revival like we have never seen. And we've got to get off our pews. And we have got to pour out our oil. And we've got to say to ourselves, it's now or it's never. It's now or it's never. Does anybody want Jesus to be lifted up in this world? Got news for you. My Jesus has left us some promises in the church, and I'm going to claim every last one of them. They are not dead, for my Jesus is alive, and his promises are also alive. I've come to tell you that this apostolic church is in debt to our generation. The hurting are demanding, you owe me a healer. The lost are demanding, you owe me an Acts 2:38 salvation. The bound are demanding, you owe me deliverance. The sad are demanding, you owe me joy. The defeated are demanding, you owe me victory. The oppressed are demanding, you owe me relief. And the lonely are demanding, you owe me that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Those in the darkness of error are demanding, you owe me an Acts 2:38 one God Jesus name truth that Jesus promised that we could have. I've got news for you. This world is tired of ritual. This world is tired of liturgy. They are tired of dead, lifeless religion. They want somebody that's got a little oil in the house. Come on, apostolics. We're not going to get it just sitting around twiddling our thumbs, waiting for some special moment in time when God says it's time for revival. It's time for you to start pouring out what you've already got. Because the world at its worst demands a church at its best. The world's getting wilder. I think the church shouldn't get milder. It ought to get wilder than it's ever been. We ought to go wild for Jesus. We ought to give it everything we've got. Friends, I can't take this thing for granted. It was given to me by inheritance. And I want to rejoice in it. I want to thank God for my heritage. My friends, there's something in this house tonight. I can't hardly explain it, but that anointing is all over my spirit, and I want it to get all over you, because everybody here owes this generation a one God, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, apostolic, hell horrifying, heaven honoring, Jesus exalting, devil debasing revival.
You owe this world a revival. You owe this world to be on fire for God. But the creditor's pounding at the door. And if we're not careful, we can get intimidated. As a matter of fact, we can feel just a little bit inadequate. And we feel insufficient. How in the world are we going to do what is expected of us in this hour? Well, I just want you to know God's got a miracle waiting on you. And the first thing this little woman needed to wake up and realize that she's already got in the house the very thing that she needs to meet the creditor's demands. She don't need to go outside. She don't need to go to Hollywood. She doesn't need to find some slick little program on the outside. She's already got something in the house that's going to take care of the circumstance. Well, I want you to know we've already got it. We don't need to go get it. We've already got it. You just need to wake up to what we've already got. Can I preach like this in Indiana? We don't need some new doctrine. We don't need some new message. The message we've already got has power. I've just come to tell somebody there's an anointing in Indiana. And it's on you right now because God wants you to start pouring it out. You need to get acquainted with what's already in the house. Because my Bible tells me greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That means you got something to turn your community upside down right now. You got something, I'm telling you, this church is tailor-made for a Holy Ghost revival in this hour. He put everything in it, and I believe that we've already got it, and we can shake our world in Jesus' name. I've come to tell you that revival is not just a catch-all phrase. It's not just a security blanket that the church uses to comfort themselves in the night. We're not here just whistling in the dark, trying to keep ourselves excited about something that's dead. But I'm here excited about something that's alive. My God, if you're baptized in Jesus' name and you spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came, you got everything you need to turn this world upside down. That's the reason why I clap my hands. That's the reason why I jump up and down every once in a while. I want the world to know what I've got a hold of is the best thing that's ever happened to anybody. Can I just preach it like it is? Our holiness standard is not a barrier to revival. As a matter of fact, as the church world gets further out there, it's going to become the very best asset we've got. I'm not ashamed that our ladies have long hair. And I'm not ashamed to preach it. And I'm not ashamed to declare it. The women look like women, and the men look like men, because what I've got, you gotta shut the door on some things to preserve it. I don't want nothing to spoil this atmosphere here tonight. Your worship is God-given. Now, I don't mean to embarrass anybody here, but if you'll just allow me this privilege to declare unto you, they can go to a Baptist church, a Methodist church, or Episcopalian church if they want to sit there and do nothing. You can be seated for a moment. I'll never forget when Catherine Harris, Secretary of State in Florida, came to our church, and everybody thought for a moment that, my God, we've got to impress this woman and we got to do something. And then the choir started singing and they started jumping and shouting and acting the fool right there in front of the Secretary of State of Florida. She was married to this highfalutin, some royal dude from over in Europe. And my God, oh, Lord have mercy. What was going on? Somebody got out in the aisle and just started dancing all around her. And then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost got on her. Instead of her being taken back by it, she just said, I want some of that, and got it. And we baptized her in Jesus' name. I come to tell you, this world's tired of dead religion. Where are you, apostolics? Let's not get tired in this last hour. Now, can I challenge you just for a moment? We can do without a lot of stuff and really still have church. Now, you're not going to like this, but you can take that air conditioner out of here and still have church. Now, you may not come back, but you still can have church without air conditioning. And I'm not turning it off. Going to keep it running. You can pull the carpet up off this floor and still have church. God's not dependent on a PA system. And God doesn't need the drums to have a beat. You can throw the drums out the door and still have a Holy Ghost move and people get healed. God's not dependent on our professional singing. He's dependent on somebody that'll come into obedience to His strategy for revival today. But I'm going to tell you something right now we can't do without. And that's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You can't do without that pot of oil. You better hold on to that oil. You better start fighting for the oil. If you got a little oil in your vessel, you better ought to shake it right now and say, hey, I need more. You say, well, we need more. That's true. But you got to understand the biblical means to obtain more. See, if you don't understand the biblical concept of what it takes to get more of the oil, then you will never understand how to multiply your anointing. Because when we get anointed, we want to feel good. And that's why you always feel like you only have a little bit. Because you want to get anointed so you can feel them holy doodads running up and down your spine. I got such a blessing tonight. It was so wonderful to be in church. That choir began to sing. And I got out there and danced in the Spirit. That's not what the anointing is for. I got about three of you excited about that. Propose to you that the scripture is correct. He said, don't use the anointing oil on yourself. It is an abomination for you to use the anointing on yourself. That did not go over very well. You are not happy about me right now. Aren't you glad this is my last service? I'm just going to hit you and run. Hallelujah. But you might as well come on and take the oil that God's given you and say, hey, I'm not going to use this on myself. It's too good. What do you want me to do? Pour it out, pour it out, pour it out. It doesn't start multiplying till you get it out of your life and get it on somebody else. Because when I get it on him, then it's going to come back to me and the creditor's going to have to leave my church alone. You know why the denominational world can't keep a hole in the standard if they even wanted to? Because they have no oil. And I'm going to tell you, our young people are going to go to the world because the creditor, according to the scripture text, has a legal right to take them away if we don't have any oil. I'm telling you, it's legal. He can move in on us and in on our homes anytime he wants to if we don't have any oil. That's the reason why I want my kids shouting around that altar. Oh, can I just make it plain here tonight? Do y'all love me enough that I can just tell it like it is? I love it when my little kids come up to the altar. Yes, every once in a while they open their eyes, look around, see who's praying for them. And I know they don't understand all about it, but I want them as close to that fire as I can get them. Because one day that oil's going to get on their life. And when it does, they're going to find out this is real. This isn't just mama's religion. This isn't just daddy's religion. This is real. I've just come to tell you this Pentecostal salvation, it's real. It's real. I know it's real. It's not fake. This is not just emotion. What I feel on me is not emotional. What I feel on me is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And it's not just on me, church. It's on you. We don't need a high-tech church. We need a high-touch church. We need to get in touch with one of them. That's the reason why I enjoy being around anointed men of God. Why? Because my anointing don't work on me. It works on you. That means that without you, I can't be anointed. And without me, I cannot anoint you. We've got to get together with each other. Come up here, Brother Strap. I got to get connected here. And then Brother Mooney, just come stand right here with me. I got to get connected here. I got to get next to somebody who's anointed. You see, because I've got to have a relationship with God. But my friend, I can't do without my brothers and my sisters. That's what you were trying to say. My God, we need to get hooked up with one another right now and quit acting like we can do it all by ourselves and find out we are a body that needs a oneness. If you want an anointing to come on you, just start rubbing shoulders with somebody who's anointed and they'll start pouring out. Then it starts multiplying. Isn't that the way it works? Somebody over here starts clapping their hands. Then somebody over here begins to worship God. Then somebody out here gets to breaking through. And then all of a sudden you can't help it. I've got to worship my Jesus. I've got to praise my God. Because it's only the anointing that's going to pay the creditor. I love this Pentecostal message. I love this Pentecostal worship. And I don't want to lose it. You know what I like about preaching in Indiana? You people do not know how to behave in church. You will not let a minister finish his message without trying to take it away from him. Look at yourself just standing on your feet like you're enjoying this service here tonight. Just look at your little old self saying, I want more. Give me just a little bit more. I need another touch. I want some more oil. And all of a sudden you start connecting up with somebody around you and it begins to pour out. Now believe this or not, we need each other. Now you know that there is something powerful when the corporate church gathers together in the name of Jesus. That is so awesome. It dwarfs anything else in this earth. Go to any kind of performance you want to go to. I don't care how professional, how well done. Might have an emotional impact on you, but that's it. Might be a great thing as far as your emotional touch. But friend, when you come into the house of God and everybody's pouring out. You know what? I'm just going to make up in my mind every time I come to church, I'm going to give my anointing to somebody else. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. I want to get connected. Somebody let me feel your anointing here tonight. Don't be stingy with it. Come on, if I'm going to give it out. If I'm giving out 110, I want to get it back 440. Hallelujah! Come on, you need to plug into this and let it change you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Quit being such a preference-oriented crowd, saying, I don't care whether it meets my preference or not. I need the touch of God in my life. Because this is awesome stuff. But notice something else she did in the strategy that I think is so powerful, because they put a great deal of emphasis on emptiness. Not just fullness, but emptiness. And they said, go borrow the vessels, not a few. Empty vessels, not just one or two, but empty vessels. You know why there's no room for the oil? Is because we are full of other stuff. We've been snacking on junk food. And we're not empty enough to receive what God has to give us. So I want to get empty before God. Well, the Bible says to be full of the Spirit. So how can you be full of the Spirit and then be empty at the same time? It's very simple. I'm talking about emptying yourself of yourself. If we're going to be full of the Spirit, there's no room for self. That means when you come to the end of yourself and you realize it's not in your own power to do it. If God doesn't move, it won't happen. But if God works, I said if God works, if the Holy Ghost moves, if Jesus does His thing, all of a sudden every person in this house is going to be empty. Come on, church, it's time to get empty. If there's anything in the way, shut the door on it. I don't want anything in my life that doesn't please the Lord. Come on, shut the door on worldliness. Shut the door on Hollywood. Shut the door on music. Shut the door on it. I don't want my kids involved in it. I want them full of the Holy Ghost. There is power in when you get empty before God. I'll tell you what will make your pastor and your preacher so excited is when you put a bunch of empty vessels on the pews that need Jesus. I'm talking about sinners. I'm talking about the spike-haired dudes. Because I don't get any good sinners in Pensacola anymore. They're all bad sinners. Their lives are messed up. They're hooked on every kind of pill-popping situation you can think of. But when they come to church, they might look weird, they might smell bad, but they're an empty vessel. You want that choir to sing with anointing? Get some empty vessels on the pew and watch God work. You want an anointing to hit this pulpit? Then go out there and get sinners. And I'm not talking about a few of them. Bring them a wholesale. The wilder they are for the world when they get Jesus, the wilder they'll be for Him. But I don't want no new convert out shouting and out praising me. But I want something down in my soul that says I've got something that's better than this world, and I want the whole world to know about it. And guess what, Indiana? You got it. You got it. You got it. How many of y'all remember that song that Andre Crouch wrote back in the 70s and we used to sing it about 872 times a night? I've got it. Come on, now how many of y'all remember? I've got it. Now some of you youngers don't remember that, but how many of you olders don't mind showing your age and just admitting you sang it 873 times a night? I've got it. I might have Alzheimer's, but I'm going to be singing that in the nursing home. I've got it. I've got it. They won't know what I'm talking about. I've got it, I've got it. Just something like the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I've got it. Yeah, I've got it. That took Pentecost by storm. If you didn't want to preach, all you had to do was sing, I've got it. I've had preachers confess it to me. They sang it because they didn't have a message, so everybody would shout. And sure enough, on the 872nd time, finally they said, we might as well shout it down because I'm tired of singing it. Come on, that's Pentecost, isn't it? I'm got it, and we'd all get out there and shout. And I asked God, I said, how can a dumb little old song like that take Pentecost by storm? When I grew up and got a little older and kind of had a little understanding of the matter. I honestly asked God about it, and I think God gave me the answer. He said, for the first time in the lives of Pentecostals, they actually claim they got something instead of trying to always get something. Son, I've already got a pot of oil in the house. I've already got a message that can change the world. I've already got a message that can change a sinner into a saint. I'm talking about, I don't care what they're addicted to. My God can break any addiction. He can turn around any mind that's been snapped by the world, and He can straighten them out. How many of you were ever hooked on drugs, or ever hooked on alcohol, or ever hooked on cigarettes? But when you got this Holy Ghost, you had no need for Marlboro. You got something better. I found a country. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Come on, Indiana, it's time to start fighting for your oil. There are people that have bled. There are people that have died. There are people that have prayed that have birthed this district into existence. And I believe the greatest moment of revival is about to transpire. Now, I know this might be an oversimplification for some of you, but I'm just going to tell it like it is. Our greatest asset is talking in tongues, saints. I'm talking about tongue-talking people that love Jesus Christ. I'm talking about intoxicated people. I'm talking about people that don't mind waving their hand every once in a while in the presence of the Lord. Come on, friends. We got something right now. That's the best thing in all the world. Now here is the third thing that she did that I think is so awesome, because she got her kids involved. See, I want my kids involved in church. Boy, I got about five hand claps. Quit being afraid they're going to take your place. Boy, I didn't get even five hand claps on that one. I just want to shock you a little bit, all right? They're supposed to when the time's right. But I don't want no carnal kid taking my place. I want a Holy Ghost intoxicated one doing it. I want more young people involved in this. I want them when their kids involved in the church. I want them to know this is the best thing that's ever happened to me, and it'll be the best thing that's ever happened in their life. You know, it wouldn't hurt you if you got out in the aisle every once in a while and said, I'm not going to sit back here and just let the devil take my kids. I'm going to put up a fight. You can let worldliness have your young people if you want to, but this preacher's going to shout. This preacher's going to do everything he can. You know, many years ago, I was really struggling with this because I wanted my children to be anointed of the Holy Ghost. And I wanted my kids to be involved in the kingdom of God. And I wanted them to be worshipers. I wanted them to have something in their heart that if God called them to the missions field, that I would be able to release them and let them go. As my daughter Dana, and she's not married, but she got her degree to become a teacher. And now she's in Gaborone, Botswana, teaching in the school there and working in the church with the Seminoles. And I just thank God for that. But many years ago, I was struggling in my spirit because I wanted to see my kids serve God. I said, so many preachers' kids have been lost. And I said, God, I know. And it was around the time that I got involved in the youth ministry back in Louisiana. And I said, I don't want this to corrupt their spirit. I don't want them to get bitter. I want them to serve the Lord. I want them to be a worshiper. And you know, all the Lord said to me, I want them to be a worshiper. All he said, why don't you shut up, quit talking about it, and show them how to do it. Boy, that just slapped the fire out of me. God done whooped me. Just beat the ever-loving fire out of me right there. He said, you don't show them nothing. You talk a good talk, but why don't you start showing it? The next service, I said, the next service, I got my kids and I got my wife. I said, come here, son. I had daughters, two daughters. I said, come here, we're going to shout if nobody else in this place shouts and worships God. Now, I'm not saying you got to use this strategy. It was just a strategy that God gave me. He said, shut the door on some things. I said, there's never going to be a scissors cut your hair, young ladies. It'll never touch your hair as long as you're in my house. I shut the door on some things. There's just some people you're not going to hang around, whether you want to hang around them or not. Sorry, I'm shutting the door. And instead of telling them about worship, I decided to show them, so I took them by the hand. And I said, I just want you to know what it is to worship God. And I want to show you how to do it. Oh, they felt so awkward. They were so embarrassed. It was, oh, I'm telling you, their faces were red. But it didn't make me no difference. But you know what happened after the initial moment and shock of Daddy's insanity? And Daddy has lost his ever-loving mind. They got excited. Lee got excited first. He was the youngest, so he was just thrilled with the action. So being the youngest, you know how little kids are. If they get into the groove, he started shouting and praising God. Then all of a sudden, Lisa said, my God, something got over her. And then Dana, something got on her. Then Lynette, something got on her. And then it spilled out into the whole church. Y'all don't know it yet, but there's something in this house right now that's about to sweep Indiana and turn local churches upside down. I'm not talking about camp meeting. I'm not preaching for camp meeting. I'm preaching for the local church to get a pot of oil. Don't be ashamed of this message. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed. We're a worshiping, praising, crazy bunch of wild nuts for Christ. Because you see, I don't want God on the outside knocking on the door while I'm singing in the choir. I don't want to be another Laodicea when I'm preaching in the pulpit and Jesus is outside knocking on the door trying to get in. Because if that situation lasts too long, the creditor's going to come by and he's got a legal right to take my young people away. But I'm not going to give him the right because I'm going to get my oil and I'm paying the debt. And I owe this generation a debt because I was raised in church. I had some good raising by a good church. I had a good pastor. So I owe this generation to be the best pastor that I could possibly be because I had a good one. I had some good elders in my life that spoke the word of God into my spirit, and I want to be a good elder and speak the word of God in the life of the younger generation. Man, I had a great church, and I owe this generation not just another sermon. I'm not here just to preach another sermon. We've heard enough sermons to save all of Indiana. But I'm here to tell you right now, I'm just here to pour out oil on every one of you I can get it on. And if y'all don't mind me just getting a little wild here tonight, I'm not just going to put it on me. I want it on him right now. I want it on him right now. I want it on his life. I want it on his spirit. My God, there's something on you right now. Oh, Santa Bahoria. Come on, if we could quit being intimidated by all the forces around us. Quit being intimidated by the devil. I just want you to find out what you've already got. I just want to pour it out into your life. To where when it gets on you, you can't stop it. You can't stand it. And you just don't want to just jump up and down yourself. You want to go find somebody else to get connected to. Because I want you to be blessed of the Lord tonight. Got that little old smile on your face. I want you to be blessed of the Lord. And that's going to take God some doing. But I want God to bless you here tonight. It's going to take him a while to help you. But we're going to hang tough with you until God begins to minister in the Spirit. We're going to pray for you until the Holy Ghost comes all over you and you find out this is the best thing that's ever happened to anybody. And it's time Indiana gets thoroughly convinced of that. You know, I thank God for every revival I've ever heard about in Papua New Guinea and any other place on this planet that's had revival. And I by no means am going to be ugly when I say this, but I'm just tired of hearing about it everywhere else. I want some of it in Pensacola. I just want to break the 800 bear so bad I can taste it in my mouth right now in Jesus' name. I'm tired of averaging just a little over 700 and can't break no 800, nothing. But I feel like it's about to come because I want to pour some oil on you and let you know you can do it too. And if you do it before me, I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm going to shout with you and maybe some of what you got to rub off on me. If you got something I ain't got, I want to get up next to you because I want it rubbing off on me until I get some of it and I can say, I got it. I got it. Now, why don't you give it? See, we stop short. We just sing, I've got it, I've got it. I've got it. But I'll tell you what's wrong. We've just been singing, I've got it for when you sing, I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it. This is too good to keep in my heart. I got to let somebody else know Jesus saves. Jesus delivers. Jesus can heal you tonight. I still believe in miraculous healing. I don't care. I still believe cancers can be healed in the name of Jesus. Don't act like it's not a reality in your own life and your own little world. But cancer's trying to eat up our movement. Don't hide your head in the sand and act like it's not happening. And I'm talking about good people that have been prayer warriors for years. You can't pray a deliverance into their life. I'm not giving up on God because that condition exists. I'm going to keep preaching healing stronger than I've ever preached it in my life. Because I still believe that there is a deliverance coming to the United Pentecostal Church. It's going to give us the ability to speak against cancer in the name of Jesus. I'm tired of heart trouble and fear and depression and doubt. We've got a problem with depression in our world and in our movement. And I'm tired of depressed preachers, weary preachers, depressed saints, and beat up people. When we ought to be the most excited, we ought to be the most victorious people in all the world. You're never going to live without problems. Problems are always going to be a part of our existence. But it's not going to take my shout, and it's not going to take my worship. Hallelujah. Dana went to Because of the Times in South Africa just a few weeks ago. And Brother Tenney was at our church Sunday. And we went out to eat Saturday night. And he was telling me, because he was there, Brother Mike Williams, Brother Anthony Mangan, and himself were at the Because of the Times in South Africa. And Dana came down from Gaborone and drove down to be in that meeting. And he said, you should have seen your daughter slain in the spirit, laid out, talking in tongues. Do you know what happened in my heart when I heard those words? Thank you for whooping up on me, Jesus, way back yonder. And I realized I was talking the talk that I wasn't showing my kids how to do it. Whoa! Every once in a while, my God, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if every one of you got a little drunk, a little tipsy on the Holy Ghost. Come on. I tell you, this is not. These men are not as drunk as you suppose, but seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. So it's worth doing whatever you have to do to get your kids involved and shut the door on yourself and on them as well. Now you've got the strategy. You've got the understanding that oil is not multiplied when you pour it out on yourself. It is only multiplied when you pour it out on others. And when I give it to you, then it comes back to me. And if I'll stay connected to those that I impart it to, then they will impart back to me. And that's exactly how a laser works. Brother Shadon, stand up here. That's how laser works. You put two precious stones over against one another and bounce light off of each other. You got it on the inside of you. And that's what happens with a laser. They begin to bounce light back and forth from rubies, diamonds, different precious gems that magnify the light in the heart of the stone. I give it to him, it bounces back to me. I give it to him. That's what agreement is, church. Where two agree touching any one thing. Where two or three are gathered together in his name. He said three are gathered together in his name. There am I in the midst. Why did he not say where there are two or three agree? Because you might have three and the third might be coming in the name of Jesus, but they don't agree with nothing. And he didn't want to limit his power to having to bring the third dude into the agreement. That means that if I want to see the miracle happen tonight, I don't need everybody in this house behind me to do it. All I need is one other person in this place to come into agreement with me and the Holy Ghost. quit saying, well, when everybody starts praying, we'll have revival. It'll never happen. Where two start agreeing it's going to happen, it'll happen. Quit saying when everybody in this house starts worshiping, we'll have revival. That'll never happen. I don't care what camp meeting you go to or how good it is. Everybody ain't going to worship God. Deal with it. Ain't no sense getting hung up on it. They're just not going to do it. Hey, so you just going to have to deal with it. Get over yourself and go on and preach the word. Come on, Brother Shadon, because I got one man here that's going to worship with me. I got one connection in the spirit that says, I agree, God can do anything. Don't make any difference what you think. You're not in charge anyhow, honey. But I know somebody who is, and it ain't got your name on it. His name is Jesus. If I can just get connected, I've got an oil that works in anybody's life. How many of you have ever seen an alcoholic delivered? You still believe it works? You believe it can work in this mad, messed up world we're living in? Does anybody believe you've got exactly what you need to shake this world right now? We don't need a charismatic nothing. What we need is some apostolic one God, Jesus name, holiness, living people to realize what you've already got. Hallelujah. Now I'm telling you, God's doing a work in your midst right now. Now, if you are sick in your body, if there's an ounce of sickness or infirmity in your body, I don't care if you've been prayed for 200 times. It don't make any difference. I want you to stand to your feet right now, and I want you to claim a miracle in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to just stand up and trust that God is able to drive out whatever it is that's in your physical person that is ailing you and hindering you from being what God wants you to be. Look at the needs that are represented here. Look at the sicknesses that are ailing the people of God. I believe that my Jesus, when He died on Calvary, the stripes that were placed on His back previous to His crucifixion were done so for our healing. I know and you understand as well as I do that God does not always choose to heal. I cannot explain that any better than you can. But I'm not here to try to explain everything. I'm here to connect to the virtue of what I know and what I have seen my Jesus do in so many countless lives across the world. And it is here tonight in this place. I want everybody to stand to your feet and hear me now. If you've got a need anywhere in your life that you want God to meet, I'm talking about anywhere in your life, I want you to step out from where you're at, and I want you to walk to the front with an expectancy and a faith, knowing that not one other thing needs to happen tonight. It is already here from the very first moment. But even now, it is here.